Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to The View from the Lane, our Tottenham Hotspur podcast from The Athletic. My name is Jack Pitbrook and I'm joined again by James Moore and Charlie Eccleshare. Right now, you can subscribe to The Athletic for a special one-off price. Enjoy great analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, as well as ad-free versions of all of our podcasts for less than £4 per month. Just go to theathletic.com/SpursPod to sign up and enjoy The Athletic throughout 2021. Tottenham are in the hat for the fourth round of the FA Cup after beating Marine 5-0 on Sunday afternoon. Charlie, give me your in-depth tactical breakdown. Just how did Tottenham manage to win this game?
Yeah, let's really get into the nitty-gritty of that. Leave aside the romance. No, it was... I really enjoyed it for about an hour or so, and then I thought it kind of petered out quite badly. And I messaged you guys, and it felt like it was one of those games that could have been ended at about 80 minutes. And the fact that only 2 minutes of time was added on was kind of a nod to that, I thought. But I thought it was... I loved Dion Dublin. I thought his commentary was just so... It sounded like he was having the time of his life. And some people didn't like that, thought he was a bit over the top. But it felt completely genuine. It was one of those... It was kind of... You know, in a way, it was a decent outcome for both teams. I think 5-0, by the way, is way, way better than par for Marine. I mean, they talked about that in the commentary, and I was really surprised. They were saying they thought that was about par. I mean, given Spurs won 7-0 against Tranmere a couple of years ago, who were, you know, way above them in the pyramid, I thought 5-0 was actually an incredible result. And obviously, partly because Tottenham eased off pretty considerably, but they also, you know, 5-0 is a good margin. They showed them respect. It's a comfortable win, so yeah, just a kind of heartwarming good day all round.
Look, I mean, they beat Leeds 3-0 10 days ago, and without kind of factoring in that Crawley result from Sunday, that's probably an indication that Marine did particularly well. I mean, I think that is an incredible result. I mean, without wanting to be like patronising, because, you know, as we said before, you know, I watch a lot of football at that level, and I was kind of, aside from my sort of trademark Spurs pessimism, I was kind of thinking that that could be kind of a bit embarrassing. But I mean, I genuinely think 5-0 is a really good result for Marine. We underline that the difference in class, and obviously Spurs made a lot of changes, but there was still, I think they started the game with 9 full internationals. And Marine only had 1. So I mean, the golfing class is obviously huge, and I think Marine, I think they did really well to not, you know, obviously they had like a kind of bad sort of 10-15 minute spell in the first half, where they conceded the first 4 goals, I guess. And to like, to come out in the second half and to be like resolute and to not like let heads drop and to continue to play, like to play well and to be well organised and hard to break down. I think they should be pretty proud with that. What I would also say is that given how many men they had behind the ball and how well organised they were, like some of the things, like in particular that Dele Alli did with the ball in the first half, are actually still really impressive, even though they're against a kind of Northern League team. The assist for the first 2 goals, I think. Was it the first 2 goals or the first and the third goal?
He got the assist for the first and second. Well, it wasn't the assist for the second. It was the pre-assist for the second, yeah.
But I mean, 2 incredible bits of skill, 2 incredible balls. I mean, I think he had a really good game. And, like, yeah, it would probably be a bit naive to suggest that that would automatically translate into good performances in the Premier League, because obviously it's not the same. But I think that could be an encouraging sign that he kind of showed those moments, because even in European games, and again, you know, that opposition is kind of somewhere between the Premier League and what we saw on Sunday. But even in the Europa League, he just didn't really look interested. He didn't really look like he could kind of do those kind of things anymore. So I think it's quite encouraging that he had those moments and that maybe he's moving in the right direction finally.
Well, also, not just the kind of what he produced, but Mourinho has spoken about how some of the players, and he didn't name check Dele, but you know, he said some of the players had thought the Europa League was beneath them. So I asked him before the game, you know, how important is it? You know, this is surely a really good opportunity to show, you know, the right attitude in a scenario that could, if you think the Europa League's beneath you, then you might think that this kind of game is. So it did feel like an opportunity. And then I asked him again after about how, what he thought of Dele, and he was really impressed. And he, you know, he talked about how well he played, but also the attitude of the team all over, that they did go and approach it in just the right way. Which they did, because it could have become difficult had they not had the right attitude. And yeah, it was nice to see him enjoying himself as well. Did a piece last week on kind of the sadness of how it seems to be ending for Dele at Tottenham, given kind of how how good a career he's had, and how for a lot of the time he was so vibrant, and you think of those goals against Chelsea, you know, etc., etc. So it was just nice to see him having fun, expressing himself. And, you know, having a real cutting edge and end product as well. As James says, the assist and then the pre-assist for those Vinicius goals were class, and kind of what was needed at that time. Because, yeah, it's not easy against a defence that is sitting that deep.
What do we think about Vinicius hammering in his first goal when the ball was literally on the line? Like, it was both, you can't quite call it a tap-in, it was more of a thump-in because of where it was. And then doing the Mbappe celebration afterwards. I saw he got some stick on Twitter for that. I must admit, I thought that was absolutely hilarious. Like, that is kind of, that's what you want to see, isn't it? You want to see Tottenham players taking it seriously. It doesn't matter the fact that Marina in the Northern Prem Division 1 Northwest, where they sit below Clitheroe, Workington and Dunstan UTS. I want players playing against them to play like they mean it. And so, yeah, hats off Vinicius for the celebration.
Does that constitute showing Marina respect?
Yeah, totally.
Him hammering that ball in and then celebrating like you would do if you scored against Manchester United.
Mourinho said before the game that the best respect Tottenham could pay to Mourinho is to try and win the game and to win it. And so I don't...
It's to score from 2 yards and do an Mbappe. And he did it.
I don't see how what Vinicius did is... runs counter to that. What was kind of disappointing to me is that Vinicius scored those two incredible tap-ins, and then unfortunately he was on course for the Dirk Cowell hat-trick, the three on the line tap-ins.
It's almost the 10-year anniversary of that.
So this is, so for listeners who might not know, this is when Liverpool beat Manchester United in 2011. Dirk Cowell scored three goals from a combined total of 1 yard, all of them after incredible play by Luis Suarez, and then Cowell taps the ball in every time. And Vinicius was on course for that, and then kind of ruined it by doing that actually really nice goal for his third.
It was a really nice goal, but it was still a goal that looks a little bit lower level. I don't think it's a shot like that goes in.
Yeah, there's like kind of a slightly awkward bounce, and then sort of like he had an extra moment that maybe he wouldn't have had with Premier League defenders around, I think, maybe.
And even where it ends up in the goal, when you watch the replay, it's not that high and not that wide. And I did feel for the keeper who wasn't the biggest. But yeah, it was certainly the pick of the three.
Yeah. What did you think about the Lucas free kick? Similar?
Well, the wall is really quite bad. And I tweeted, like, and we spoke about it before, like how it was one of those games where you thought, like, lump all your money on Lucas scoring. But he looked so good against that level defender. I mean, his acceleration is extraordinary at the best of times. But they just, I mean, absolutely could not cope with it. It looked like playing on a computer game where you're just on a level that's way too easy for you, because he was just flying past them. And then, yeah, the free kick was well taken, but it's not a great wall.
It was how quickly he could take the ball and turn, wasn't it? I think that was the most telling thing. The fact that he could like receive the ball with a defender behind him and like roll him like in one swift motion incredibly easily. I think that was kind of the thing that happened repeatedly in the game that probably illustrated the difference in class.
Also, it's quite good to see Joe Roden play. Like, he hasn't played that much since he came in. And obviously, you know, it's Marine. But they did get the ball forward a lot. They had big Niall Cummins up front, who for me was just the absolute epitome of a big non-league centre forward. It's like kind of Matt Reed. It's like kind of this gen, the new Matt Reed. And he, you know, he's looked like he had a lot of fun charging around. So, but I thought Roden did pretty well as well. So hats off to him.
He made that really good block in the first half, didn't he?
Yeah. If there's one player who I thought wasn't great, it was probably Jedson Fernandez. I was pleased that he got a, game, but I mean, like, it wasn't easy because of the pitch and everything. And I think he might be a player who wants to zip the ball around or go on maze dribbles and do things which will require a little bit of an easier pitch, perhaps. Or but it wasn't really happening for him. He seemed to give the ball away more often than he did anything useful with it.
Well, Jack, Mourinho and you would be on a collision course because he was very impressed with Gedson. And when I asked about Dele, unprompted, he said how much he liked Dele's display, but then said, I think him and Gedson were the two players who were responsible from minute 10 until minute 75. They were the ones that created. They were the ones with mobility that started that dynamic, that created problems for them and goals for us.
I know this seems unlikely, but is it possible he's got Gedson and Harvey White confused? Because I just... that is absolutely mad. I mean, that is just not what happened in the football match. That's bonkers. I mean, look, you know, we don't want to be too harsh on Gedson because, you know, whoever you're playing against, if you haven't played a game for 4, 5, 6 months, then it's going to be difficult to kind of pick it up straight away. And he did kind of show for the ball. It didn't look like his head went at any point. It looked like he was constantly kind of like looking for the ball and trying to like make things happen, and it just didn't really come off. But with all the will in the world, I just don't really see how you could say he played well.
I was talking to someone recently about Gedson who was saying he thinks there is a decent player in there. The problem is he doesn't really have a position. And I kind of see what he means. Like he has quite a lot of raw ingredients there to be a decent player. But at the moment, I can't really think what his position is and where that's going to be. I mean, just looking at the numbers, yeah. I mean, because I saw some people say that he'd posted some decent figures, but like his passing accuracy was certainly on the lower end of the Spurs players overall and in the opposition half. Put a few crosses in. He attempted more passes. Well, him and Harvey White the most. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think he was brilliant.
But I mean, that's what you expect, though, isn't it? He's a central midfielder who played the whole game for the team that had all of the ball. So you kind of expect him to make more passes.
I don't think he is a central midfielder. I think he was kind of playing on... I mean, but that's kind of the point, isn't it? It's hard to know sort of where he plays.
Just drifts around, doesn't he?
I mean, he's got a great engine on him, which you'd think would set him up for a career somewhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And then, of course, headlines in the second half for Alfie Devine, Spurs' youngest ever player, Charlie, and scorer of a really nice bottom corner goal. Really positive day for him and kind of justifying already that transfer from Wigan Athletic in the summer.
Youngest ever player, youngest ever goal scorer for Tottenham. Yeah, he was really, really impressive. Obviously, there's been quite a lot of buzz about him because he was signed last summer from Wigan, aged just 15. And it's quite rare that Tottenham will kind of splash out on players of that age. Obviously, they prefer to develop them from within. Dele Alli is one of the rare exceptions. He was a bit older at 18 when they bought him from MK Dons in 2015. Devine, there's a huge amount of buzz around. I mean, he part of the reason they were able to get him from Wigan was because Wigan were in dire financial straits, and they had to sell. It's really sad that sell off a lot of their most talented youngsters. And at the time, Jamie Carragher tweeted about how good Devine was, but how sad it was that Wigan, who developed him, wouldn't really get the benefits of that. And Adam Kraft and I have done a piece on Alfie Devine, and you know, we spoke to some people from Wigan, and you know, there is still, you know, someone said about still feeling heartbroken at kind of losing Devine, and as pleased as they are for him, seeing how good he is and is likely to go on to be. For hearing from people at Tottenham, the sense that he has a great attitude, clearly really, really talented. Mourinho went to his medical to meet him last year and, you know, kind of gives you an indication of how highly he values him. Mourinho likes him a lot. And yeah, he was really impressive, took that goal beautifully. And I thought then just you could see him really growing in confidence, getting on the ball loads, zipping it around. Could have had an assist at the end if Vinicius had scored. So really exciting. And, you know, depending on the FA Cup draws in the next couple of rounds, you think he might get more minutes. I mean, he is crazily young, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But, you know, he was born in, was it August 2004? So as Jack, you tweeted, he was born after the Jose Mourinho special one conference.
2 months after the I am a special, I think I'm a special one press conference.
And thank you, by the way, for getting the I am a special one. It still annoys me that the special one, which is something he never said, but that's a discussion for another day. But yeah, I mean, really, really good. And, you know, there's few things more exciting than, you know, young stars emerging at your club. So it was really, really great to see.
James seems to be excited.
Yeah, I mean, it is insane. I mean, it is genuinely depressing that someone... I mean, he is, like, comfortably less than half my age. I mean, that is pretty bleak, isn't it, really? You know, I was at university, or sort of between my first and second year of university when he was born, which is, it is mad. I mean, he took that goal really well. That isn't really the kind of goal you expect a 16-year-old to score, if you know what I mean. Kind of when a really young player scores, you kind of feel like it's more often going to be like they do something really mad, like some ludicrous bit of skill, or they just, you know, like that Wayne Rooney one against Arsenal where he basically just wellies it from like sort of 25, 30 yards. You kind of expect it to be like that, but it was so composed. The way he just kind of picked the ball up outside, cut inside, took two touches and then buried it in the bottom corner. I mean, I think that is incredible, really. And also the as you mentioned as well, Charlie, the touch and that pass inside to Vinicius towards the end, where, and Vinicius probably should have scored, really, I guess. I mean, that you know, if he had ended the game with a goal and an assist, I mean, that would have been absolutely ludicrous, and it would have been entirely deserved as well.
Though, I mean, the thing, when you talk to people, you know, they're kind of like, yeah, you know, this is very much the start for him. It's no surprise that he can boss it against an eighth tier team. I mean, he is really thought of very highly. So, hope, and, you know, he then put on Instagram, you know, hopefully more to come. And, you know, that may end up being a pretty substantial understatement because there are really big expectations. And obviously, we should say always at this time with a young player, there's no guarantees of anything. You know, there are tons of players who at his sort of age were incredible. A couple of people making comparison with John Bostock, who was signed age 15 as well and, you know, didn't at Spurs anyway.
Well, that's his record he broke, right? Because Bostock was the youngest player before that, wasn't he?
Until Dane Scarlett. Scarlett broke it back in November against Ludogorets, and then yeah, it's been broken already by Devine. It's funny, Jack, though, what you said about like young players, the kind of goals you associate with them, because I saw on Twitter the other day they showed James Milner's first ever goal when I think he broke Rooney's record. And just typically for Milner, it's just a really professional, you know, grown-up finish. Like Milner was one of those who arrived at 16 looking like a kind of fully formed veteran, so it's just quite funny being reminded of that.
One more we should mention is Harvey White, James, who I thought did really well in midfield.
I think it's quite telling, actually. I think Charlie mentioned this on Twitter, that White was like a set piece specialist, and it probably said a lot about how the other players kind of respected that ability, given he was allowed to take so many free kicks through the game. And I mean, I don't think he probably did himself justice in that regard, really, because they weren't incredible, they weren't dreadful. We've certainly seen worse from, well, Harry Kane. But yeah, I thought he played really well. And I think if Devine hadn't been, you know, if Devine hadn't come on at 16 and scored a goal, then all we'd be talking about would be Harvey White, right? I mean, he kind of, maybe to say he'd ran the game would perhaps be overrating it a little bit, but I thought he played really well. And again, I mean, a bit like we were saying about Gedson, he was constantly showing for the ball, looked like he wanted to be involved, wasn't kind of shying away from anything, got stuck in a little bit as well. So I think that was a really encouraging performance. And, you know, Devine perhaps probably won't play in, say, the Europa League against Wolfsburg or whatever, but you can kind of see a situation where maybe White might kind of be involved in one or other of those games, maybe.
He's really mature, White. And it was funny, like, with that, when I tweeted that about the free kicks, I was obviously then, when he was lining up a free kick quite early on, being like, please score, please score. He also took a few corners. And I remember in a youth game last year, it was in the UEFA Youth League against, was it Red Star who were in, it was Red Star on the Partizan Belgrade, wasn't it? Yeah, Red Star. Yeah. And him and Troy Parrott, right near the end, you know, had to be kind of because White is the designated free kick taker. He's got beautiful delivery, but Parrott wanted it. I think Parrott had already scored a hat trick, but he kind of was hungry, and White kind of pulled rank, and they really had this quite heated discussion, and then White took it and bent it into the top corner. His delivery really is exceptional, and yeah, as James says, it does speak to A, his confidence that he, you know, was wanting to put himself out there, and B, the respect he has from his teammates. But he's a really nice player to watch, and he likes to get his foot in. His passing is good, it's crisp. He feels like the kind of, the next, in that Harry Winks, Ollie Skip sort of mould. You know, Tottenham have produced some really nice technical central midfielders over the last few years, and I think he's one with a really bright future. It'll be interesting now, you know, talking to a couple of people about what's best for him, and they were saying they think, you know, he'd really benefit from a loan. So I wonder if next season we'll see him doing something similar to what Ollie Skip's done this year at Norwich, where that loan's been fantastic for him.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Charlie, this is your last podcast with us for a while, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Pathetic.
I'm heading off for a long paternity leave. Same child as he was born in the summer. I've had a few people say, like, bloody hell, it's been a kind of busy lockdown period. It is the same child that was born in the summer.
A medically impossible lockdown period.
I know, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the miracle of lockdown. Yeah, so I'll be off for the rest of the season, which is crazy.
Out for the season.
I'm out for the season. Yeah, in brackets, paternity leave. In brackets, baby. Yeah, so it's pretty mad, and obviously I'm going to miss it hugely, and especially doing this pod, and yeah, so I'll be watching on with a lot of interest, missing the quadruple. I mean, it will be to think that there are a few things I'm really, really curious to see what the world will be like Spurs wise when I get back. Obviously where they finish this season, and trophies they win, whether Dele will still be at the club, where he'll be, where Jedson will be, one of the great mysteries that we'll see solved in the next few months.
I mean, surely the big question is whether the season's actually finished by the time you come back.
Yeah, that as well. But that's within the where they're going to finish and what they'll have won. Yeah, I mean, who knows? But yeah, so farewell to the listeners for a little while, but it will go in a flash, and I'll be able to listen. I really enjoyed the one I missed. I was able to listen to that, so I'm looking forward to being able to do that. And
A good one.
Yeah. It was like when the one that I missed, James pinned. It was to his Twitter. It was like, it was such a middle finger. But yeah, I'm expecting I'll be doing that every week now that I'm off.
We will miss you, and I think everybody associated with this podcast, including all the listeners, wishes you and your family the very best. We are going to finish with a quiz. It's a two-stage quiz. It's the second stage of which is the classic format, but there's a qualifier to get there. The qualifier, James, don't pull a face. This is really good.
There's nothing compared to the face producer Tom pulled when you said that.
What?
The qualifier. As a man who knows he's got a long afternoon's editing ahead of him.
So, part one is, before yesterday, when was the last time Tottenham played a non-league team in the FA Cup?
1985, Altrincham, 3-0 win.
Oh, fantastic. 1-0. James, where were you?
What, in 1995?
No, or? Like, I'm answering that question.
I don't care.
You don't care? Christ.
Well, he's obviously looked it up, hasn't he? He's been in part of his research before the game.
I swear I saw that pop up. It was on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, Altrincham.
Or maybe on the BBC. Maybe on the BBC pre-game coverage. Yeah. The
conference isn't really even proper non-league, is it, anyway?
No. For the purpose of the quiz, it is.
Spurs reached the semi. That was the team that dared to do Jerry Francis' season.
So this would have been one of Jerry Francis' first... This would have been in the opening weeks of the Jerry Francis era.
First couple of months, it? Yeah.
Yeah, in January, like, 95. So we're just going to do classic quiz format, team selection for that game.
So what was the... Oh, what?
All big names.
Wait, so what?
So that was part one. Part one was... Yeah, so
have I not qualified?
Yes, no, that eliminates.
No, sorry, qualifier is the wrong word. It's a kind of way in. It's a kind of way into the quiz. But we're now in, like, the conventional form of the quiz.
Does that point count for anything in the actual quiz?
Yeah, let's say Charlie starts the 1-0 lead.
Should count for 10 points.
Really need to outline the rules at the start.
Yeah, why don't you host... James, why don't you host your own podcast? You can come up with the rules for your quizzes.
So it's the team that played that game.
It's the team that played... The team that beat Altrincham 3-0 in January 1995.
God, so it just kind of comes down... Again, like, we were talking about it last week, weren't we? With how much rotation was a thing back then. And how much they would have just gone all out. Best team.
Who's going first? Are we in this now?
Charlie's going first because he got the first question right.
Fine.
Darren Anderton?
Yes.
Teddy Sheringham?
Yes.
I'm going to write this down.
Yeah, I'm sort of trying to write. I mean, they wouldn't have rotated their keeper. Ian Walker?
Yes.
Jürgen Klinsmann?
Yes. See, unlike Harry Kane missing the game of the day.
Yeah, well, that
played in this game.
That's quite good. That suggests they played a pretty strong side.
Yeah, that makes this a lot easier.
Sol Campbell?
Yes.
Justin Edinburgh?
No.
He was on my list. Colin Calderwood.
Yes.
Ooh. Was he there?
Nick Bamby.
Yes.
Great shout. David Howells.
That's good.
Yes. Charlie's 6-3 up. Not looking good for James.
Dean Austin.
Yes, Dean Austin.
Great shout. So this guy played and scored against Arsenal a few days earlier, so I'm going to go Zica Popescu.
No Popescu.
Fuck, so is he rested? Was he injured?
There's two names left.
Hang on. I must have not written someone down because I've got three spaces. Colin Calderwood.
Already been said by Charlie.
Ah, shit, okay.
That's you can have another go.
Thanks. Who's going to be playing in midfield? Oh, I'll tell you what. Ronnie Rosenthal, like playing on the wing.
Yes.
Great Rosenthal.
Brilliant. So there's one name left to get.
Is it Stuart Nethercott?
It's not Stuart Nethercott. So it's currently 6-5 to Charlie, but if James gets this right, then it's a 6-6 tie.
You could not have written a script.
Oh, okay. So my I reckon this formation that I've written down is wrong.
Oh god.
So it's got to be another defender. I mean, I know Sol Campbell played fullback a bit. He played left back a bit. Gary Mabbott.
It is Gary Mabbott.
Wow. What a
comeback
formation. Or unless they played wing back, unless they played a three at the back with wing backs potentially. Campbell, Calderwood, Mabbott, and then maybe like Anderton. Oh no, but Austin couldn't have played.
I think it'll be Sol Campbell playing at left back.
Bloody, that's a really attacking side though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of like a diet. Yeah, well, that's how they played, wasn't it? They didn't know what they were doing.
You have to respect Jerry Francis playing so many top players against Altrincham from the conference.
Not taking any chances.
Yeah, you don't get that nowadays.
He's left out the Romanian lads. What more do you want?
He has, yeah. Yeah, I wonder why. Tottenham won that game 3-0 with...
Were you at that game, James?
No, I wasn't, no.
Goals from Nethercott. I've closed
Nethercott
the tab.
Scored. Which had the goal scorers on. So he came on and scored?
I believe so, yeah.
I actually didn't play.
Yeah, I closed the tab, which had the the goal scorers on, obviously. Oh, no, here it is. Nethercott, Rosenthal and Sheringham were the three goal scorers for Tottenham that day. Anyway, I think that's probably all we've got time for on this week's podcast. But James and Charlie, well done. It's a shame we didn't get an outright winner in Charlie's last quiz, but there'll be more quizzes when
you come back.
I think
it's a fitting way to go out with the draw.
Fittingly farcical.
Well, thanks very much to Charlie for all your contributions to the pods over the last year and a bit. Thank you also to James and to producer Tom and for all our listeners. We love reading your tweets and messages and comments. So please keep them coming, and we look forward to returning. James and I will be back next week, where we will hopefully be looking back on a busy week of Premier League action for Spurs.
The Athletic.